Hey everyone, welcome to episode 114. Today we're talking about More Holiness Give Me. So the real question is this: what does it take to make the gospel come to life? If you are struggling with what you believe, or if you do believe but you want to feel the truth on a deeper level, or even if you are experienced in your faith and you want to deepen your relationship with Christ even further, what steps can all of us take to not just bring the gospel to life, but to cause the gospel to bring life into us? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Brian Robbins, and welcome to Bringing the Gospel to Life. Hey everyone, hope you're having a lovely day. All right, I broke my promise, but here's why. So, it was weird when I went to Las Vegas because I was like, okay, I'm not going to do my podcast for a few days just so I can focus on school. And I could use the excuse that I didn't publish over the past couple days, also for the same reason, because it truly is one of the busier weekends of my life with trying to get this all done. But the honest answer is that every single night when it came time for me to do my podcast, I was like, remember how solid the message was last time because you felt so good about it because you'd been able to think about it for a few days? And that's how I felt every night. And so I couldn't get myself to do it because I know I had an experience there. I didn't really have a message to share. Like, what I've noticed is, as I look back now, when I was doing it every day, I would kind of just be desperately trying to reach out and latch on to something from my day to share with you guys just so I could fulfill the goal. And that's good because I was keeping the goal, but in having done the last time now, I felt wrong doing that. So I decided to wait for a few days to see if that happens again. And it has. And I have a message that I want to share today. But over the past few days, I've had several minor messages that I was like, oh, I can share that today. I can share that today. But it wasn't something that really kind of moved me and something that I felt really deeply about. And so I'm wondering if I need to do this just every few days instead of every day. And I know that breaks the challenge. But again, I keep telling people this. The point of challenges and goals is to cause changes and shifts in your life. And that has happened because now I'm doing this consistently. So I'm not sure. I kind of want to keep doing it every day just because of the good habit it was for me, but I don't know. I may just do it a couple times a week so that, not so that I get out of it, but so that the messages are a little more, they feel deeper to me. At least this one does today. So anyway, maybe I'll share this and you guys will think it's boring, but that's just fine. So let me tell you what I've been up to the last few days. So Mary left to go to Washington. So I've been in my apartment in my house all weekend by myself because I'm writing a whole bunch of papers. I didn't go with her because this is one of the busiest weekend. This is the busiest weekend for my master's program, probably the entire school year. And so I'm staying here to write my papers. And I have to do one where basically I was supposed to read the entire history of seminaries and institutes, which is 600 pages long. It's this big fat book. And then we're supposed to write a paper on it. And we're supposed to take any topic that we want and we're supposed to address it. And there's this one that's been really cropping up that was so, I didn't think it'd be interesting to me, but it was. And the topic is how the attitudes of seminary teachers have changed over time, which is very interesting because with seminary teaching, there's a few quirks, right? Like you're kind of always on display. You always see your students out in public or you see people from your classes at church. So you're trying not to offend them in class during the week so that they still like you at church. And like, there's just a bunch of things. Like when I wasn't married and I couldn't get the job until I was married. Like there's just a few funny quirks with the job title. And a few of those quirks have caused some people to really complain against the leaders of the church. And it's interesting. So as I've been studying this, I was like, this is the topic that I'm going to study. Because nowadays, there's different attitudes towards teaching seminary. There's the attitude of, oh, well, anyone could do that. There's also the attitude of, some people think seminary teachers just walk on water. Like they are amazing, amazing, super holy people. There's also the attitude that some people are like, seminary is the most boring thing that could possibly there is. And then you know, when you go to church and when you go to wards and when you see friends or you say, hey, I'm a seminary teacher, like, there is a certain cultural baggage to it, for good and for bad. And as I've been studying this further, what I wanted to focus on was the attitude of seminary teachers, because I'm not sure how many of my non-seminary teacher friends will know this, but like, seminary teaching is hard, and we get a lot of people who say, wow, that would be a nice job to have. But teaching 100 teenagers the gospel every day for 80 minutes and all the other stuff that goes on with it, like there are parents who get really up in our face, and there's students who just think that seminary is a sleeping period, right? Like, it's a job that's not the easiest. I know it's, sometimes there's like this attitude of teachers kind of have a they kind of just complain a lot about their job, and like, they're like, everyone should feel sorry for me because I'm a teacher. And I'm not saying that, but I wanted to study the attitude of seminary teachers over time as I read this book. And this concept came out of it that is, oh, it's so powerful. And it goes with the title today, which is More Holiness Give Me. And here's the concept. So at the very beginning, when seminary teaching started, they were asking people to do it. At the original start, like, they, you have to imagine this, like, imagine you were in the very start of the church and you had another job and you were asked to quit that job to come teach the gospel every single day, and you get paid to do it. Like, you really have to imagine this for a moment. Imagine no idea of seminary teaching existed. You had no idea it existed, and you're approached by one of the leaders in the church, like a 70 or an apostle. They sit you down, they say, Brother Robbins, would you actually quit your job right now so that you can come teach the gospel for us? And I'm like, well, I can't quit my job. And they're like, no, we'll pay you to do it. Like, back in the day, that was such a, oh my gosh, are you serious? Like, I can quit my job and just teach the gospel and you'll pay me for it? And they're like, yeah, will you do it? And he's like, yeah, of course I will. And so there's this quote in this book where it says, there was a commitment to seminary teachers back in the day that will never be matched again in the future. And that was such an interesting statement to me. And it's true, as time goes on in this, and the more, the seminary program gets broadened out into the world and it becomes less novel and it's just more common, you see a decline of, commitment's the right word. Like, commitment to this idea. And so that's what I'm writing my paper on, but it reminded me of a concept that Elder Renlund taught, and I want to share that and then talk about this concept of More Holiness Give Me. So there's this talk from Elder Dale G. Renlund. So sorry, that was just a lot of build up to, here's the thought right now. Elder Renlund gave a talk in 2016, April 2016, called That I Might Draw All Men Unto Me. And he introduced a principle that I don't think a lot of people really caught when they heard this talk, but hopefully when you listen to this, you'll hear it again. He said this, "My dear brothers and sisters, while living in Africa, I sought advice from Elder Wilford W. Anderson of the 70 about helping saints who live in poverty. Among the remarkable insights he shared with me was this, the greater the distance between the giver and the receiver, the more the receiver develops a sense of entitlement." Okay, one more time. "The greater the distance between the giver and the receiver, the more the receiver develops a sense of entitlement. This concept has profound spiritual applications. Our Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus Christ are the ultimate givers. The more we distance ourselves from them, the more entitled we feel. We begin to think that we deserve grace and are owed blessings. We are more prone to look around, identify inequities, and feel aggrieved, even offended by the unfairness we perceive. While the unfairness can range from trivial to gut-wrenching, when we are distant from God, even small inequities loom large. We feel that God has an obligation to fix things and to fix them right now." Okay, here's why this was so powerful to me as I'm reading through this book. Like, the things that seminary teachers did back in the day, like, I would have quit for sure, but they saw it as such a moment, like such a blessing to want to be doing this, that they're like, I'll do whatever it takes as long as I get paid for doing this. Like, they loved it and they didn't care. And it was such a blessing for them even to be hired. And nowadays, like, don't get me wrong, like, seminary teachers have the best attitudes of anyone I know as far as, like, their job. Like, they love their job. But every now and again, there is, like, there is a few complaints about how the system works. And it's so interesting to me to read this history and look at the commitment and the absolutely zero complaints back then. And I'm sure there was, right? It just wasn't written about. But, like, that quote, there was a commitment back then that will never be matched now. And I was wondering why. Like, why is that? And it's because this quote from Elder Renlam, because they were there the moment when it happened. Like, they were so close and they experienced it so much that, like, they, like, are so grateful that they get to do this. And as I've been looking at my attitude as approaching this school year, I've thought, I've had a really bad attitude. And as I thought about it, I had the words of the song, More Holiness Give Me, come into my heart. And it's interesting because one of the statements that we say as mission seminaries and institute teachers is that we always continually seek to improve in our performance, knowledge, attitude, and character. And as I was thinking about that mission statement, we continually seek to improve in our performance, knowledge, attitude, and character, the words of that song came into my mind, more holiness give me, right? More strivings within, more patience in suffering, more sorrow for sin, more faith in my Savior, more sense of his care, more joy in his service, more purpose in prayer. Like, everything about this song is really, like, if I could write down the desires of my heart for my life right now, it would be the words to this song. Like, I just want more. And notice that that's different than saying I want to be better. That shifts the burden onto me. Like, I want to be better. No, I want more of the Savior's grace in my life. Does that difference make sense? And that's the realization that I really wanted to share today. So hopefully you guys slogged through the first 8 minutes of this, or how long have we been going? Oh, the first 11 minutes of this, and we're able to hang on to it. Because this is the thought, like, that song, a lot of people will take More Holiness Give Me, they'll take that song and say, oh, okay, I need to be better. No. It's, you need to receive more. Like, have more of his holiness in your life. And when you are filled with that love, like when that gap is closed between you, the receiver, and him, the giver, when you feel closer to him, you're filled with more holiness, and then your heart and your soul start to feel these feelings. Like, you feel more joy in his service. You feel more pain at his grief. You shed more tears for his sorrows. You have more hope in his word. Like, the more you close the gap, just like seminary teaching, I read this book and now I've closed the gap in my mind and I'm filled with a gratitude for being able to even have my job, right? So I'm filled with more love because I closed the distance. Elder Renlund, right? The more we close the gap, the more love you feel. So this is what I'm trying to say is, like, if we can close the gap, if we can just feel closer to him, you'll be filled with more holiness, and then the natural actions that you want to be taking in your life will flow naturally because you feel differently. You bring a different energy, a different level of gratitude, a different level of love to yourself, and that causes a change in behavior. I heard this analogy in a podcast the other day I thought was so profound. He said, people always think that they need to take different action in order to get different results, because they've heard the Einstein quote, insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. He says, but it's not the difference in action that makes a difference in results. Have you ever seen yourself and you're taking actions, but someone else is taking the same actions and they are getting different results? And the answer is yes, that's out there. And he said, but I want you to think about this. He said, in chemistry, what is it that changes an element or a substance into a different form? You can take the same actions. They can be sitting in the same jar, like no action can be taken, but you can still have a change. Notice that. No action can be being taken, but you can still cause a change when you raise the energy level. So water can just be sitting there, But if you raise the heat in it, it will turn into gas, right? It'll turn into cloud. What's that called? What's that called? I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. That's embarrassing. But like water can be taking no action, but when energy is added, it naturally causes a shift, a change. And so we have people who are like, they're actioning themselves to death in their life. So like, I need to take more action. I need to take more action. I need to take more action. No, you need a change in energy. And that will come as you close the gap between you and your Savior. And then that shift in energy and love will cause a natural change in you as a person. And it will cause you to repent more. It'll cause you to feel more holiness. It'll cause you to read His word more. Like, it's backwards. In our class the other day, someone said, our professor said this. I couldn't remember what scripture verse he found it off, but if you go back to the root word for foundation, he talked about how faith and foundation have a similar root word, and that if we think about it, like, we're supposed to say faith unto repentance is the first principle and ordinance of the gospel. Faith unto repentance. Not faith to repentance, but faith unto repentance. And he said, we kind of have it backwards in our church. Like, we have people that say, that think you have to take action in order to get faith. But really what you need to do is, if you will feel and learn faith, then action, aka repentance, will naturally flow out of it like a foundation. It will provide a foundation for your righteous works. That's what it means when it says faith without works is dead. But, and then President Oak said, but works without faith is even deader. So I'm rambling. I'm completely rambling. But I just love this song. I usually don't have favorite scriptures or favorite songs, but I think I'd say this is it right now. More holiness give me. Like, that's all that I want. I want more tears for His sorrow. I want to feel more pain when people talk about His atonement. I want to feel more fit for the kingdom. My favorite one really is, more used would I be. Like, I want Him to look at me and say, I can use Him. Like, that's President Monson, that's President Nelson to a T, right? Like, more used would I be. Like, President Monson's idea of the rescue, that is in essence what that is. So, I don't know if that helped you guys, but just reading that situation about seminary teachers, how there will be a commitment back then that will never be known in the future, because the distance between the giver and the receiver was so small. And so they felt this attitude, those seminary teachers did, of more holiness give me, regardless of the pay, regardless of the crappy things they had to do back then, that their commitment was the song, more holiness give me, because that gap was so small. And I feel that right now, and I hope. Anyway, so again, this podcast is not to tell anyone to do anything. I'm not telling anyone to close gaps. I'm just saying, when you feel close to Him, you'll say that. You'll say, more holiness, give me, and all these things will come as a natural thought. So some things to think about. How big's the gap between you and your Savior? Not in a guilt way. Please don't take that in a guilt way, but like, you can judge your commitment, your attitude in your life right now by how much you're feeling close to Him. So if you're not feeling great right now, you probably don't feel that close to Him, but that doesn't mean you're unworthy, but it just means, okay, how can I narrow that gap? Can I read more scriptures? Can I listen to music that inspires me? Can I watch the Book of Mormon videos? I don't know, like, whatever it is that closes that gap, do it, and then all that stuff will naturally flow out of Him. So something to think about. I hope that's helpful. Let me know what you think about these two last two messages, if they've been more helpful because I'm not doing them every day, or if I should go back to them. Let me know what your thoughts are. Hope this helps. Hopefully I'll talk to you guys tomorrow, but it may be in a few days. Who knows? So enjoy this. Share it with someone who needs it. Let me know what your thoughts are, and I will talk to you later.